It's the Congressional Corner on WAMC. I'm Ian Pickus, and our guest is Congressman Richard Neal from Massachusetts' 1st House District, a longtime Democrat. Last time we were talking about the new spending agreement ahead of the latest deadlines, I wanted to ask you about the question of foreign aid. There was some conversation among House Republicans, about 60 of whom went to the southern border, to tie immigration together with the president's request for further funding for Ukraine. So how do you see that shaking out?
Well, first of all, I think that we should come to the assistance of Ukraine. I think that what's noteworthy to me is that Ronald Reagan, who is an iconic figure for many of them, even though they would probably not nominate him today in a Republican convention, that Reagan's rise in political life in large measure came to the fact that he positioned himself standing up to the expansionist tendencies of the old Soviet Union. For them now, on the Republican side, to take this position that Ukraine doesn't count is befuddling. Striking this heroic posture of the Ukrainian people against the punitive actions of Vladimir Putin doesn't strike me as being terribly complicated. We should come to the aid of Ukraine. I think that there is money for Israel. I think that the money that we have suggested ought to go to Taiwan, given the threats to Taiwanese hegemony. I think those are important considerations. So that means that there's going to have to be a compromise on the border issue. And I think President Biden has signaled that he's prepared to compromise on that issue. Look, my grandparents were immigrants, and there has to be a process that people go through. I understand humanitarian needs and relief, and we should try as best we can to honor it. But you now have Democrats in big cities and governors across the country who are saying that we're overwhelmed, and the prospect of reaching that agreement on a compromised basis, I think, is very sensible. And I think Joe Biden has made it clear that he's open to a compromise to secure funding for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Strikes me as though that is a reasonable path.
Massachusetts is one of those places. Governor Healey announced late last year that the shelter system was at capacity. We know there are migrants who are being housed in your district in western Massachusetts. What are you hearing about the state of things in your own state?
Well, I think that, you know, Governor Healey called me and she asked me to set up a meeting with Secretary Mayorkas. And we did that. The whole delegation from Massachusetts showed up. It was a very good session with him. He was very firm in his position, but he did point out it was the law. And he said that that was the challenging aspect. It wasn't as though he didn't want to find an agreement or a compromise that was reasonable. He said that he had to follow the prescription as dictated by the law. And Governor Healey called me that night to say thanks for hosting the meeting, thanks for clarification on the meeting. But I do think that when you watch the relocation, sometimes by surprise for local communities, it has been offsetting. And if you watch or you go by some settings where kids are kicking a soccer ball in a motel parking lot, that is not the humane way to approach this. So I think we're all searching for a reasonable solution here that deals with border security and at the same time is humane for those who are seeking to come to America.
Okay, so let's now go to the issue of Israel, which you mentioned a moment ago. There are calls for tying further aid to Israel to some sort of limits on the use of force by that country in Gaza. There are also concerns, as the Secretary of State Blinken goes to the Middle East for a week, about a wider war. So do you think that, like Senator Warren has called for and others, that there should be any restrictions on further aid to Israel?
I think Secretary Blinken has handled this the correct way. I think that his argument has been that he does not want, and we do not want for sure, a wider war. We do not want more innocent people killed. And at the same time, I think that we want an outcome here that deals with the atrocity that was committed on October 7th as well, where 1,200 innocent Israelis were brutally murdered. And I think as the stories have played out, and we've had a chance to see about the humiliations that have taken place as it relates to the abuse of women, it's striking to me that that needs to be part of the conversation going forward. So I think that Blinken's position is correct, trying to encourage Israel to restrain its response and also to point out none of us want to see innocent people murdered.
Let's go back to some domestic issues now. There was a jobs report issued that was very promising. What was your reaction to the jobs report? And secondly, how come President Biden is not seeing sort of a requisite polling increase along with the strong economy?
Well, that was a very good jobs report, 216,000 more jobs. That's 15 million jobs during the 3 years that Joe Biden has been president. We have increases in productivity that have not really been reported. We have increases in labor participation rates. We've had increases in wages, and inflation is on a downward trajectory. So I think that Biden has a very good economic story to tell. I do think in conversations I've had with the White House as recently as a couple of weeks ago that I've been pretty aggressive in encouraging the president to tell the story more effectively. And I think part of it is it's the time in which we live, because there's really no longer this center, I think, of media influence. It's much more disparate. And the result is that I think that different people tell different stories. But if you look at some of the polling data here, what is striking to me is that even as it relates to economics, how much political polarization has settled in. If you ask Republicans, they overwhelmingly think the economy is in bad shape, despite compelling evidence that dictates against that. And if you ask independent voters, they are more mixed in their view. And Democratic voters, they are very supportive of what the president has done. But when you consider the wage gains that have taken place over the last 3 years, including north of 4% in some increase, potential increases, it is really substantial. So I think that part of it is messaging at the White House. But I also think part of it is now how political polarization has even seeped into political commentary.
Did you see the Washington Post story about President Obama warning the Biden folks about the 2024 election and, you know, sort of streamlining the political operation?
Yes, I did. And I think that the former president is correct on that. But I also think it's important to understand that we also have a lot of background here as it relates to Ukraine, as it relates to Gaza, as it relates to Taiwan, and as it relates to, I think, these populist movements that are sweeping Europe and now evident in our own country as well. So I think the setting is considerably different than when Barack Obama was president. But I do think that the wisdom that was suggested about streamlining the messaging always makes sense. I mean, there's two arguments, as you know, that take place every day in America. There's one that political people want to have, and there's one that the media interpreters want to have about it. And
guilty.
The idea is to figure out how you can do it.
What's the status of East-West Rail in Massachusetts?
Well, actually, I'm going to be meeting with the secretary tomorrow to talk more about that. But at the moment, it's heading in the right direction. I think that the funding that we've secured with the help from the Healey administration has been important from the federal government. The two of us partnered on that money. I think that the north-south side is doing quite well. I think that the east-west side now, that of the argument, is underway. We want to improve that track to Worcester. That's the big deal. And then on the west-east side, we want to make sure that we can get from Pittsfield to Springfield as well. So I think that it's all headed in the right direction. And, you know, I think that on the climate front, I think it's very helpful to encourage people to use more passenger service by rail. And I think everybody's been surprised by how successful the North-South or Springfield-Hartford-New Haven has been. And we monitor those numbers in my office monthly, and we're in regular communication with the transportation secretary. And I think that this is going to be a good story to tell. But I've been at this for a long time, and oftentimes against long odds, but it appears as though it's going to work.
Okay, we're out of time for today's conversation. Let's pick it up next time with Congressman Richard Neal, a Democrat from Massachusetts' 1st District. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.